Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Be seated. If you're like me, when you hear the account of creation from Genesis like we just did, you kind of form a picture in your mind of what God's good and new and perfect creation might have looked like. Or maybe you think of pictures that you've seen in books. But this morning, instead of that, think about this. Creation isn't just something to be seen. Creation has a sound to it as well. Laurie and I spent a few days in a cabin this week, and we heard sounds other than car engines, honking horns, construction equipment, and the constant sound of technology dinging and beeping and ringing, and it was quite delightful. We heard birds and animals, water, wind, and rain. Lots of rain. The sounds of creation. And imagine Adam and Eve in the garden hearing for the first time the sounds of creation around them. The singing of birds, the flowing of water. The joy they must have gotten from that. But even before that, creation had a sound. The voice of God. Before there was anything else, there was God speaking, "Let there be." And that sound of the Father through the Son and in the power of the Holy Spirit brought all creation into being. And then, on the sixth day, no, "let there be." But instead, the sound of God speaking, "Let us make man in our image." And when God carefully crafted the crown of his creation, his man and woman, then more sound. The voice of God speaking again, not just instructions, but gifts. "Be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over every living thing and every plant you shall have for food." And this voice of God himself, I imagine, was more beautiful to the ears of Adam and Eve than anything else they ever heard. But soon, that beautiful voice wasn't so beautiful anymore. When sin distorted the hearing of God's man and woman, when they heard a satanic mockingbird imitating the sound of God's voice, speaking as God did, but not to create, to destroy, to corrupt and ruin all that God created good. You see, sin has a sound too. It is the sound of doubt, uncertainty, questioning, deception, contradiction. Satan was the first scammer. Like when you get that text, that email, and just for a moment wonder if it's real, if it's true. Well, Eve clicked. She fell for it. And they got nothing promised in that scam, only pain and grief. And then a sound not heard before. Accusation and blaming. But then another sound, The sound of the rescuer, God, walking in the garden in the cool of the day. Sound that before would have brought Adam and Eve joy, now bringing dread and fear. But God didn't just make the sound of walking in the garden. God again spoke. This time, a promise to fix what they had broken, to scam the scammer, to restore the life and innocence he had taken, to make them whole again. And with the sound of that promise, God created again. He created faith in his children to give them hope. The sound of that hope then and that promise were repeated through the years and centuries until the sound of God's very voice sounded forth once again from a most unusual place, a manger. The rescuer had come. The Father had sent his Son into our flesh. And then once grown, with the sound of his voice, he created, he healed, he restored. To many, it was the most beautiful sound they ever heard. But others heard his voice not with joy, but with anger and spite. And they silenced that beautiful voice of God on the cross. That's what Peter was talking about as we heard in the reading from Acts today. His preaching on the day of Pentecost of the Son of God, the Word made flesh, silenced in death by men of distorted hearing, which caused them to live twisted and distorted lives. But this, Peter also said, that this happened according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God, which is to say, according to his promise. The promise that sounded forth from God in the garden. This was the sound of hope from the mouth of Peter. That sound that rescued Adam and Eve now rescued their descendants as well. The promise of God fulfilled. The rescue of God accomplished when the one whose voice was silenced on the cross sounded forth again in his resurrection. And remember what we heard last week. Those who heard the sound of Peter and the others preach this were people from all over the world who had gathered to Jerusalem for the festival, and they were hearing the sound of this beautiful good news in their own language. Now appreciate how beautiful that must have sounded to them. Because up until this point, they would bring their offerings to the temple, they would present them to the Lord with Hebrew words. Hebrew words that the priests said, and they repeated, but didn't understand. But now they could hear and understand. Because just as creation has a sound, and sin has a sound, so too does recreation have a sound. The sound of the voice of God spoken by his apostles, speaking of his promises and gifts, of what once was and now is again in Jesus. But not just that, the sound too of the splashing of water that now gives life, and the biting and chewing and swallowing of bread and wine. That is far more than just bread and wine, but the body and blood of God himself. The one who in the beginning gave every green plant for food, now giving his body and blood for food. And with that, the beautiful sound, the good news that the tree of the cross is now the tree of life, giving its fruit again. And with those sounds, Jesus told his disciples, go once again and fill the earth and subdue it with children born of God, born again, born from above. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them with the sound of the splashing water in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them with the sound of that beautiful good news of a Savior, a rescuer, of a promise made and a promise fulfilled, of life and new life, of creation and recreation, of hope and a future. The same voice of the Father through the Son and in the power of the Holy Spirit, sounding forth again through his church. And now it is our turn. The sound of the gospel goes forth from this place. It is proclaimed, it is sung, it is splashed, it is eaten, it is confessed. The sound of men and women, young and old, gathered together by God and joined together by God into this one holy communion here, this church, to proclaim the praises of him who called us out of darkness and into his marvelous light. And the power of the Holy Spirit continues to work through this word, recreating, restoring, and renewing by the gifts of forgiveness and faith. And when other sounds come forth from us, other than confessing words, helpful words, loving words, sounds that are not really from who we are, sounds that should not be but are, sounds of anger, hate, deception, shame, lies, then what? Then more sound. The sound of repentance. I am a poor, miserable sinner. In thought, word, and deed, I deserve present and eternal punishment. But the one who spoke in the beginning, and it was so, the one who promised to make things right, the one who came and fulfilled that promise, then speaks again. I forgive you. I am the sinner. I took your sin. I took your punishment, all of it. You are free. Because the promise, I am with you always, it really always has been so. You may not always realize it. You may listen to voices other than mine, Jesus says. But from the beginning, I have been caring for my creation and caring for you. And I am with you always so that you will be with me always in a new paradise. That as it was in the beginning, it will be forever. All that you need, I provide. All that you need, I have done. I created you and redeemed you. I died for you and rose from the dead for you. I baptize you and feed you, and I will until the end of the age. And then I will continue in the life of the age to come. Hear this sound of the voice of your good shepherd, all his words and promises, and follow where he leads. For he is leading you to life, the life of the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the life that has no end. And what sound then? Well, just as creation has a sound, and sin has a sound, and recreation has a sound, so too does glory have a sound. And that sound will be like anything else you've ever heard before. Of angels and archangels and all the company of heaven. One great voice of praise to our triune God, more beautiful than anything you've ever heard before. We'll confess that now. As we sound forth together as one, the words of the Athanasian Creed, the Catholic, that is, universal faith that has been confessed for centuries from places all around the world and in languages of every kind. That this is who God is. That this is what God has done. That this is what we believe, teach, and confess. That by grace through faith, our sins are forgiven and our good works are remembered. That without this faith, we still bear our sins and have nothing good in us. But that our triune God has spoken life into us. That by his wounds and then his words, we are healed, forgiven. So that when he comes again in glory, we will go with him to glory. Until that day, hear the sound of his blessing and know that it is true. That even better than the hymn we just sang, St. Patrick's hymn of the Trinity, that St. Patrick bound unto himself the strong name of the Trinity, even better than that, that the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, has bound himself to us, to bless you and keep you, to make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you, to look upon you with favor, and give you peace. Beautiful words to give you life. His life, perfect life, as it was in the beginning. In his name, the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.